Hello, everybody. I hope you're all doing really, really well. This is Joanna, and this is already our 10th class, if you can believe it. We're in probably beyond our 10th week because we took a week or two off here and there, but this is our 10th Sacred Depths class. And today is our visioning modeling call. So, 2 calls ago, we kicked off our visioning and strategizing module, and we looked together at the important coaching skill of visioning and how to support clients to really articulate what they want for themselves. We looked at the importance of creating a vision that's really aligned with your client's priorities and desires and values, as well as creating one where your clients are willing to stretch, right? They're a vision where they're willing to stretch themselves out of their comfort zone so that they can really see what it is they really want. And I hope since that call 2 calls ago, if you're working with a partner, you've been practicing your visioning skills. On our last call that we had together, we began to look at the coaching skill of strategizing, which in my experience is sort of like a sister skill to visioning, or the follow-up to visioning, we can say. Strategizing is all about working with your clients to create the most effective and the most doable and the most enjoyable plan that will get your client to their vision. Strategizing is in part about using your consulting skills, which is about any experience you have in executing visions, but it's a big part of it is also about empowering your client to find her own strategies and her own solutions and working together to see what's really going to be right for her. The other important component of strategizing that we looked at is understanding common human reactions and responses when they start new things in their lives, which a new vision really is. It's a new thing. As a practitioner, the more that you can really understand how your client is approaching their new vision, how your client feels about it, what beliefs and ideas and fears and philosophies come up for your client around starting this new thing, then the more effectively you'll be able to help your client strategize and then execute the vision. So those were our first 2 calls in this visioning and strategizing module, and we have 2 more calls in the module. And I want to just share with you what we're going to be doing over today's call and our next call to really maximize your learning and your skill development in the area of visioning and strategizing. So on today's call, I'm going to be modeling the skills that we've looked at so far, modeling not just the skills we've looked at for visioning and strategizing, but really since we began the training. So in a few minutes, I'm going to call on Kelsey to come forward, and her and I are going to do a mock visioning session. I'll coach her for about 45 minutes or so, and then as a group together, we're going to break down and break apart all of the different visioning skills that I used, how I used them, why I made the coaching decisions that I made. I'll let you know if there are things that I would have liked to, you know, if I could go back, if I would do differently, and there'll be plenty of time also for your questions on all of it. It'll be a real group discussion. As a trainer, what I've found is that this type of teaching, modeling skills for you to consciously observe and then for us to break the skills down together as a group, is a really effective way to integrate all that you're learning and then to take you even deeper into the skills. So my intention for our session today is that the modeling and then the breakdown will really crystallize a lot for you. And then next week, we'll top off this visioning and strategizing module by going even deeper into the topics and to kind of special areas in the topics. So there is a great question in our Facebook group about how values fit in with visioning. I'll get into some more details on that. I'll be sharing with you the four strategizing rhythms that you want to be aware of when you strategize with clients. I'll also share how to use visualization, if you want to use visualization with visioning, with the skill of visioning. We'll look at more details around strategy. I'll also be sharing with you a protocol that you can use for a first session with a client that you can adapt for your own style and your own use. So my intention for next week's call is to kind of go through all of those topics and any others that want to come up, to have open space for any questions that you have around visioning and strategizing. And we'll have space for cues on today's call as well. But for now, I'd love for you to just take a moment and write down, just based on everything that we've looked at so far, you know, the last two calls on visioning and strategizing, what feels most important to you to remember or to know when you're working on visioning with a client? Just take a moment and note that for yourself. What feels most important for you, just based on everything that we've been looking at, to really remember or to know when you're working on visioning with a client? All right, so it's good for you to keep that in mind in general, but also note, you know, how that comes up as I'm coaching Kelsey on our call today. So in a moment, I'll bring Kelsey on for our modeling coaching. And as you listen to me coaching Kelsey, here are some things I want to invite you to be thinking about and doing for your own maximum learning and integration of everything. So as you listen, take note and write down, make notes of any questions that I ask that feel important or you like the way that I language them. Write down, make note any times that I create awareness for the client that feel important to you. Take note and write down when I'm working with the different principles that we spoke about in our visioning class, desires versus shoulds, being thorough with the vision, stretch, risk, or die, giving permission to the client to even have, you know, their vision. How am I helping cultivate belief in the vision? Am I looking at knowing what season the client is in, et cetera? I may not hit all of those. We'll see how it goes. But take note for yourself as it's happening and what I'm doing to create all that and anything else that comes to mind as you're listening. Make notes. Also, what I want you to do is write down, as you listen, any questions that come up for you about any coaching decisions that I'm making, you know, why I'm asking about this instead of that, or going in this direction instead of that direction, or used that word, you know, whatever it is, any questions that you have about coaching decisions, you know, write those down. And the other thing is anything that you might be doing differently. And this is a really important point. There's more than one in coaching, there's more than one effective pathway from point A to point B to help, you know, get our clients what they want. So certain directions that I'm taking, you know, you might have other pathways that you're seeing that would be really great directions. So take note of those also. We can discuss those as well. So I want you to really be listening actively and taking notes as we move through this. It will make for much deeper learning on your part and a really great discussion for afterwards. All right. So all that being said, let me get you so that we can hear you. Kelsey, hold on a second here. Let me find you. Hey, are you there?
I'm here.
Awesome. Hello.
Hi.
So first of all, I just really want to thank you for being willing to be our guinea pig and our volunteer and be coached in front of everyone. Thank you.
You're welcome. My pleasure. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, before we start, before we go into actual coaching, I also just want to acknowledge for you and for everyone on the call that, you know, it's like this is a little bit manufactured, right? As sometimes the coaching practice that you guys are doing is, because you may not be in the exact place of needing a visioning session in this exact moment. You mentioned to me beforehand that you wanted to do the visioning around your business. And I know that you also just launched a new program, so in some ways you kind of just went through a visioning process with the launch of that program. But all that being said, I still think that we'll be able to really serve your needs and the module's needs, and you know, we can focus on your vision for actually executing that new program and what's going to happen, getting into more wisdom and details there, or we can look at the bigger picture of your business over the next year, or really anything else. So, you know, where I want to start is to just ask you what would be most valuable for you today, you know, within the realm of visioning, what is it that you would really like to receive from our coaching?
I would like to get clear on the biggest vision for my business and my life over the next year. I think that, you know, yes, launching this program and, you know, there's baby steps, but I feel like if I had a really clear, bigger vision and a little bit longer term about the way my coaching and acupuncture business kind of work together, and where I want them to go together would be really helpful.
Awesome. So it sounds like part of what's really important for you here is to really see how the coaching and acupuncture are going to come together. And tell me if I'm getting this right, to kind of create more of a cohesive whole for the vision.
Yeah, cohesive whole and a way for me, and yes, with that cohesive whole, a way for me to sort of speak clearly about what I do, how I serve, who I serve, so that the right people are like, oh, yeah, that's for me. That makes sense. And yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Why else is it important to get clear on the year-long vision for the business and for your life?
What just came up for me right when you asked that is clarity for me allows me to focus on what's most essential and let go of what's not. And I tend to be an overdoer. I'm so busy, it's crazy. And I'm, you know, running from one thing to the next kind of all day long, 5 days a week. And I feel like if I was a little more clear on what really, where I was really going, then maybe I could do a little less, which is actually part of my coaching message to people. Mm-hmm. Do less and achieve more is like a big part of what I am coaching people on. So I feel like I need a little bit of that for myself right now.
Yeah. How have you been doing more? Like, how has the overdoer been showing up?
the first thing that comes up for me is that, you know, it's actually, is that as in my acupuncture business, I accept insurance, which I have liked doing and has been fine because it helps you grow the business, gives you exposure to more people. It's a healthcare benefit. It's part of why I became an acupuncturist, because it's like validated and accepted in the Western world in terms of, a preventive health tool. But the process of working with insurance and billing insurance means that you see more people, but all the extra time that you're spending billing and then following up on billing, and then there's a lot of busyness for that. Mm-hmm. And that's extra doing for me. Like, oh God, at the end of the week, I have to go back and make sure I get all this paperwork to my biller. And then, you know, people are like, can you put this receipt together for my insurance? And there's a lot of doing that feels a little not aligned for me. That's one way.
Yeah.
How else does the overdoer show up? Maybe also there's a way, I'm not sure how else the overdoer, so that's the first way that came up for me. Just I'm doing a lot, like I'm planning a small retreat for this weekend, and then, you know, so I got to get that all shopped for and done, and then next week I'm going away, and I don't know, the overdoer is just life. I'm a single mom, and I co-parent with my daughter's dad, so I have, you know, some days on and some days off, of course, but there's a lot when you're the only one on. I have a new employee that works at my office now. She's an osteopath, and she uses the space, my office, when I'm not there. But she had to be an employee because she's Australian and needed a work visa, long story, but there's a lot of doing in terms of that, and payroll and reporting, and I don't know, I'm just doing so much all the time. I feel like I have to, there's a lot of doing when you first launch a program.
Yeah. So it sounds like, tell me if I'm getting this right, but, you know, the different examples that you've been giving, because I think this relates to the bigger vision. A lot of the examples that you've been giving, they sound to me like administrative tasks.
Yeah.
The insurance, the little preparations for retreats, the paperwork for the employee. Am I getting that right?
Yeah.
Does it feel like it's time, maybe not tomorrow, but sometime over the next year, to start handing over some of those administrative tasks?
Yes, for sure. And I've been doing that more and more. I have a virtual assistant, and she's been doing a lot for me. And I just had a conversation. I have another conversation with her tomorrow, but I just had a conversation about how can you do more. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing all my own QuickBooks and accounting, and I just hired a bookkeeper. But yeah. Even in the, like, I think that will be easier eventually, but the first month when you hire your bookkeeper, yeah. There's so much where you're doing it too.
Yeah.
So, yes, I'm moving in that direction. So my QuickBooks will be handed off soon, or it is in the process of being handed off. My virtual assistant is going to be doing more. And so maybe your question is there even more? Like, is there somebody... Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's time to hire someone to be like at the office or presently. I'm a big fan. I just talked right before this. I just talked to an organizer who's going to come help me do some organizing at home. So I'm trying, I guess.
Yeah, it sounds, I mean, what you're doing already sounds amazing. And it sounds like you really are working on the delegating piece. And it may not be that someone is there, physically there or full-time or not full-time, but it definitely sounds, tell me if you agree, like it just sounds to me you know, you said in the beginning, I wrote it down, you want to get clear on the biggest vision for your business and your life.
Yeah.
And if we're really going to go for that biggest vision, if you're bogged down with a lot of administrative tasks, either whatever we create isn't going to get executed, or you're going to hold back from really seeing what you want, because in your mind it's going to be like, but what's all the you know, all these little tasks associated with it, right? So I think it's good for us to just keep in mind that there are opportunities. You know, we probably won't get to it today, but there are opportunities to delegate more so that it doesn't get in the way of you just really being able to see what you're ready to see for your business.
Yes.
Does that resonate?
100%. Yes. And I think I just need to, in every place I'm doing something, think, you know, do I have to be doing this? Is there someone else who can do this?
Yeah.
And then the hard part is just finding the right person and then sticking to it, you know, rather than, you know, once I just actually reached out on Upwork yesterday to a designer to help me with some stuff. And then maybe once she's helped me, then that's just my go-to designer. I just have to use, because it's a lot of time to find someone on Upwork. And now I found her. It's like, don't do that again. Just have her be the person.
Right. Don't reinvent the wheel. If you like the work that she does, then you can just move more systematically, like make that a system in your business.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So as we take a look, let's both kind of just keep check on the overdoer and, you know, that the kind of overdoing isn't getting in the way of seeing what's ready to be seen.
Yeah.
So when you were talking about bringing together the coaching and the acupuncture before, I got the sense that it's been a little hard to bring them together under the same vision until now, but that might not be right. But I wanted to ask you about that. You know, what has that looked like so far for you? Where are you at with it? And then what's missing from the picture there?
Yeah. Okay. So it has been hard. Well, you know, way back, you know, and I was a coach first for many years, and then I went to grad school and got the master's in Chinese medicine. And then when I got out of grad school, I was like all about building my acupuncture business and sort of, you know, I had the coaching business kind of running. And then the next couple of years, I was like, oh, let me focus on the coaching business. And now I'm really on how do I bring them together in a sustainable way. And it has been a little tough, maybe actually going back to this insurance thing, is, you know, if people are coming to me on their insurance, it's like I've got this back pain. They're not necessarily wanting sort of the transformational deep work. They're not necessarily my ideal coaching client, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's worked better, actually, now that you're asking this question, when someone has already found me through coaching, and if they're local, to be like, oh, yeah, let me also see you for acupuncture, where I sort of thought, and it has been, that, you know, the acupuncture business being busy is a feeder for the coaching business too. It's just, there's a little bit of weeding out, right? A lot of my coaching clients aren't local, and that's fine. I've got London and, you know, and so I can't really do acupuncture on them, although I can use some of the principles of the mind-body practices through my coaching, but it's still just still coaching.
Yeah.
So some of it has been also in the messaging, that, oh, I'm a coach who's also an acupuncturist, or I'm an acupuncturist who's also a coach. Like, people, it takes a little bit of time for people to understand how they go together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it sounds like you've got your coaching clients, and you've got your acupuncture clients, and then sometimes, depending on who they are, there's a crossover between the two. I hear that the messaging could be tighter. You know, just for the purpose of this session, I don't want to go too much into messaging.
Yeah.
But, you know, what I do want to ask about is, what about, I mean, in some ways it sounds to me like it's working for you, that you've got some of people in coaching, some in acupuncture,
yeah.
right? So where do you want to go next with it?
I think even more alignment, where there is a deeper integration for more people that want to do both. Mm-hmm. Although, even as I say that, it doesn't have to be everybody. Sometimes I just want to, you know, do acupuncture. And sure, in the acupuncture, you're coaching a little bit. But sometimes mm-hmm. it's actually a nice change to have a couple days where I'm just, not just, but doing acupuncture, which is a different energy transfer.
Yeah.
Where I want to go next, I mean, kind of where I know I would like to go next, or I know that, like, is the next step, but I don't even really know how to articulate it other than, you know, serving more people. I guess that's more group stuff, maybe that's what's next, group and retreat, and more people doing the integrated work, mm-hmm. where there's just a few now.
Yeah,
more people doing both.
Why do you want to serve more people?
My heart or stomach just fluttered a little bit when you asked that. Because I want to have a bigger impact. I want to, you know, change the way women relate to, you know, work and life and feel more in balance with their body, mind, and spirit. And I want to share what I know and what I've learned. But even as I say it, I'm like, oh, I'm really scared saying that because, you know, who am I to say any of that?
Is that why your heart fluttered?
I think so. Because I realize I'm also saying it. I know there's a group of people listening, but I'm, you know, yeah, it's like, I know sort of like what I'm supposed to say is like, I want to have groups and, you know, definitely want to get less in just the one-on-one, you know, hour by hour work for sure, because it's exhausting and that's part of the overdoing.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to serve more people, and I want to, you know, learn and practice a different way of sharing my message, which is more teaching.
Yeah.
And more, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's very scary to say and think about.
Yeah, why is that scary?
A little bit of the... Who am I? What do, you know? What can I really teach? What do I have to say that isn't already said, or somebody couldn't say better?
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a little bit of fear. I know there's a bit of fear about that part of it, but it's excitement too. So, you know, sometimes they feel the same in the body, and it's about the story I tell myself.
Yes. Yeah. When I hear you, I know 100%. And I actually feel like. I feel like when we step into something new that we're really excited about and that we're really passionate about, and I really heard the passion in your voice when you were talking about wanting to help women, I always feel like there is a little fear as part
yeah.
of the excitement too. Like, I don't think it's a hard line between one and the other. So much of that is normal, part of excitement. But it feels like the part that really veers, you know, more into that fear place is the who am I and what if this isn't new? Am I getting that right?
Yeah. Yeah, the who am I, the not good enough, you know, and am I really going to help people? Are they going to, you know, is there going to be this, you know, silent eye rolling, you know, that feeling?
Mm-hmm.
Is it really going to be helpful? Or am I just like blah, 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 like everybody else, you know?
Yeah. I hear you. I have so been there more than once myself.
Yeah.
How has the not good enough and the who am I to do this and will there be eye rolling, what has that held you back from up until now?
Well, it's held me back from being more visible. It's held me back from, you know, designing curriculums and programs and putting them out there. It's held me back from getting out there to teach, you know, preview classes. And it's really held me back also from really honing my message, which I know we're not doing in this, but I think it has, like, well, if I don't totally know what I'm saying, then how can I get out there and say it? You know, I think it's actually stopped me from getting super clear on what I want to say.
Yeah.
Because I use that as an excuse. Oh, well, I'm not totally 100% sure on what I want to say, so I can't, blah, blah, blah. But I think the resistance is the fear, and then I don't decide what I really want to say.
Yeah. Can we just pause on that for a moment? Because that feels so important. Earlier in the conversation, when you were saying, like, when you're talking about the desire to speak clearly about your work, just like, I don't know you that well yet, but the thought that came up for me is Kelsey knows what her work is about. And what I'm hearing from you now is it's really that not good enough thing that has you think that you can't talk about it. Am I getting that right?
Yeah. Exactly. It clouds my own understanding of my own message and vision.
Yeah. Yeah. So because this not good enough piece, like you're saying, is holding you back from visibility and honing your message and then designing those programs, you know, that you started talking about before, my sense is that it would be a good use of a little bit of our time to just go a little bit more deeply into the not good enough. I'm sure you've looked at it before. You know, you're doing inner work all the time. But would it be okay with you if we focused on that a little bit?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So where... The not good enough is showing up in your business, but I'm going to guess that it's probably showed up before being an entrepreneur. Am I getting that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you can think back, way back, where did this message first show up for you? Where did it come from?
Well, I mean, deep, you know, old from my mother, who was, you know, lovely, but a little critical and a little cold, you know, didn't necessarily connect deeply and attune to who I was. So I was constantly trying to achieve and perform to be good enough to get, you know, what I needed from her, probably. That's the earliest feeling that's coming up about it.
Yeah, yeah. Around what age would you say did it first come up?
I don't know, maybe like 10 is where I'm, you know, I don't remember feeling bad about it, but I remember like starting to be like a real achiever, like in school and, you know, wanting to be the best at everything and get good grades and be a star student. So there was like an approval seeking part of me that I remember in my school age years.
Yeah. So around 10 is when it kind of like manifested as achieving and needing approval and validation and all of that, and probably maybe, you know, even before that, without you even realizing, just these feelings of like, maybe I'm not good enough, what, you know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the manifestation in terms of schoolwork, I remember like actually, I can, now I can remember, like, second grade and whatever. Yeah, it's definitely early, like, you know, just trying to get the attention and approval through performing and being good enough. That's basically, oh yeah, so that's basically, we got attention by being good, and sort of got disconnection by being, you know, not happy or not, you know, when things weren't good, whatever, that caused disconnection. So in order to maintain connection, I had to be good.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. I recognize a lot of that from myself. And it's like, it's a lot for a second grader to hold, right? You're 7 years old, mm-hmm. about in the second grade. So would it be accurate to say that now in your business, when you hold yourself back from being visible and from designing curriculum and programs, it's because of this fear of not being good enough, and it's really that second grader in those moments that's running the show, not adult Kelsey that's running the show.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, it's almost like, will you tell me, like, what is second grade Kelsey saying to you in those moments?
You know, it's not perfect yet. It needs to be better. You know, you're not going to get the appropriate attention, the attention that you want, with this level of performance.
Yeah.
It needs to be better.
Yeah.
You need to do more.
Yeah. Isn't it crazy how, like, we can be full-fledged adults with children of our own, and somehow just, like, this younger part of us can just take over in a moment, even though the adult part of us knows better.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't, yeah, it, yeah, the younger part also, is maybe where that overdoing, like, instead of doing the bigger visioning stuff, I'll just do the QuickBooks and the da 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 and the billing and the invoicing and the, all these little small things do, so that I'm busy all the time, but I'm not actually.
You're being a good girl.
Mm-hmm.
I just got chilled when that came through for you.
Mm-hmm.
You just feel into that for a moment. How the overdoing is that second grader's way of just being good enough, and then it's distracting from the bigger vision.
Yeah. Yeah. And if the doing were more aligned with the vision, instead of sort of distracting from the vision,
mm-hmm.
it would feel so much more purposeful and meaningful.
Yeah. So we know that where we want to go is for the doing to be more aligned with the vision instead of distracting from the vision.
Yeah. Yeah.
So as you see all of this and can kind of look at this from a little bit of a higher perspective, what is it that your experienced and wise adult self wants your second grader to know about being good enough and being seen? What's the wisdom here that the second grader, just because she's in second grade, you know, hasn't been clued into yet?
I guess you're good enough exactly as you are, that is good enough, and that's what you should just trust that you're good enough just as you are, and just move forward from who you are and have that be enough.
What did you notice?
And let go.
As you were saying that, mm-hmm. What did you notice about your voice as you were saying that?
I think it just felt grounded and calm and dropped in a little.
Yeah, I heard that too. So you're good enough exactly as you are. And just move forward from that place, from who you are. I imagine that as a mama, that's a big piece of what you're teaching your kiddo, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God, I hope she doesn't get what I had.
I always feel
enough,
like... Yeah, we won't go there. I always feel like, you know, they always get some of it, and that's okay. That's why there are practitioners out there.
Right. Oh, my God. I know. I sort of was like, should we touch, you know, when you said, what do you want to vision on? I was like, should we talk about my parenting or my relationship? There's so many things. But, I mean, this, I think, is the central, and the rest can come from that. But, yes.
Yeah. So if we were to take a peek back into the serving more people and for this next year and creating groups, maybe a retreat, and having some more of those clients that where you're integrating the coaching and the acupuncture, if you were to come not from the second grader place, but if you were to come from this grounded, wise place of you're good enough exactly as you are, just move forward from who you are, what is it that would just really excite you and delight you and feel satisfying for you? Bring me a little bit more into a group or retreat or, bigger vision. Like, talk to me more about this bigger vision, but from that adult place.
So it's unclear, I think, in part because I haven't let myself go there, but I think I would like to,
let's pause here for a moment. So, sorry to interrupt you. So I hear that you won't let yourself go there. Move even more into that energy of the, you're good enough exactly as you are, and see it from that place.
Okay.
So if you knew, I know you may not fully believe it yet, right? But if you knew for certain that you could just move from who you are, that you're good enough, all those beautiful things that you just said, like if you just could for a moment like pretend that you knew that for certain, what is it that you would really want to create this year?
So many things. One, maybe a year-long group program that's in person, where we have like sort of a group meeting once a month, and then everybody also gets one coaching and acupuncture session with me. So there's like a topic. And then that month is what we're working on. And then everybody in the group comes in and also has an individual, healing session or two that is a coaching and acupuncture combined session. So that I'm sort of working with a group of women who want to go deep into the content and the topics and the healing, both in this group format, but then also in the individual way, so that they really want to experience both, and they want what I have to offer from both. Maybe something like that. And then it, has a retreat at the end of the year or something like that. So, or a retreat midway through.
Uh huh. Yeah, I love this because this is starting to integrate all of the different pieces that you've been sharing in the session so far. The way you mentioned retreat, wanting to serve more, and then what I'm hearing is that this is like really starting to integrate more the Chinese medicine and the coaching.
Yeah.
I'm guessing, but I may not be, this may not be the right assumption, but let me know. I'm assuming that not just in the individual sessions where they would be doing coaching and acupuncture, but in those group sessions, what you would be teaching would be like your own brand of combination of the Chinese medicine and the coaching. Am I getting that right?
Yes. Yes. And that's what's been so interesting and hard for me to integrate, although I'm getting much closer to the messaging around that, because the coaching work that I've done mostly up until now has been sort of with this corporate woman that's, you know, overstressed, overgiving, overwhelmed, type A, you know, got promoted by working harder. And the acupuncture has been sort of, you know, women's health stuff and related, but I think bringing it together to understand how, you know, slowing down the mind and the body into this slow power messaging hasn't come until recently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love the direction. I've seen a little bit on Facebook, on the Facebook group where you've been going with that. It actually feels like this coaching client, ideal coaching client that you're talking about is someone, one of the types of people who could use that slowing down the most, that slow power.
Yeah. Yes. And there would be some integration of mindfulness and a lot of self-compassion work and, you know, health and vitality and strategies as well as sort of leadership coaching. So it's like a combination of the coaching and leadership corporate type stuff and the mind body spirit healing and the slowing down and the health and the boundaries and compassion and all of that.
Yeah, I love it.
Stopping overdoing and being good enough, right?
Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah, you want to fold all of that in, right? Because your ideal client is a version of you, for sure.
Right.
What else around this year-long group are you seeing? Already given a lot of details. There may not be more. I feel like it's already mostly there, but I'm just wondering if there are other pieces that you want to mention.
Like just thinking big vision. I don't know. Maybe there's a way that they have sort of mutual support partnerships that I don't know. And this, even as I say it, like I'm just voicing so that you're aware, like I have this fear of like, I don't have a big enough list. How would I get 20 people, you know, and how could I do this? You know, there's a lot of that going on in the background. Just, you know, FYI.
Yeah.
Even as I vision.
I know. And that's so, I'm sure, you know, that's so normal, right?
Yeah.
And number one, you know, I always say it's not the size of your list that matters, it's how you use it.
Mm-hmm.
And that really, I mean, at least for me and so many people I've served, like that really is the truth. And if you continue to connect back in to this beautiful mission of what you want for these women that are overdoing and exhausting themselves, let that lead you to the actions to take to fill the program.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense what I'm saying.
Yeah. I think. Maybe you can say it another way or one more time.
Yeah, so I think your overdoer is getting into, to like, there's so much to do and this. And I'm not saying, like, there is, like, right, there is a little hustling involved in filling a program. But, like,
totally.
It is so much and I don't know. And I'm just wondering how things would be different, not just for this program, but in your business in general over this year, if you let your inspiration lead and your mission lead and your purpose lead, as opposed to the combo of that overdoer and not good enougher.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what feels important in what I just shared, or if that sparks something else important for you.
Yeah, what it sparked is when I lead from inspiration and purpose and vision, the fear drops away. I was even able to see, like, okay, what if I just let go of accepting insurance and for a little bit of time, you know, things in the acupuncture world slow down a little bit, because then I create space both, you know, in my both in my clinic and in my week for, you know, designing the curriculum and creating this new program and having that be the work. And, you know, so much of me not wanting to slow down has also been about making enough money.
Yeah.
And maybe it's okay. I mean, I know it's okay, but I'm just going to sort of step into, I have a year where maybe I don't make, you know, X amount from, you know, Blue Shield, and, you know, I just let that go and let the space, even as I say that, I know what would happen is the space will be filled by regular paying customers. Yeah, the vision is just a lot more freedom to come from purpose and vision, purpose and inspiration.
Yeah, let's just sit with that for one moment, because I feel like you're tapping into probably the most important foundational piece for this next year, which is about having your overdoer, you know, which, as we said, is related to your good enougher, be willing to open up space for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
I was going to say, I get almost a little dissociated when I hear you talking right now, because so something's happening. And I'm like, where am I? It's weird.
Yeah.
I get a little dissociated.
Yeah. What's happening? What's happening?
I don't know. It's fear, or it's uneasiness, or there's also like a thought that fluttered by that's like, if I create space, I'm not going to know how to use it. You know, it's just some weird story flutters by, but then I'm like shutting down the story. So I'm like,
yes.
I don't know.
Okay. So I know this might sound cruel, but you know, I mean it with love. I'm so happy that this is happening, because this means that we're like, the space thing is crucial.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is crucial. I haven't had space, like real space, in so long. I can't even tell you. I'm getting emotional even talking about it. I was a coach. I went back to grad school while I was a coach and had a baby and was single parenting after a year with a baby during grad school. Oh, my God. I haven't had real space.
Yeah, because Kelsey, that overdoer is so overactive because it's scared of not being good enough.
Right.
So this is actually so amazing, because now that you're seeing this, you have choice. You know, when we don't see something, we don't really, we don't have choice in it.
Right.
And I know that the choice is a big paradigm shift for you, because you've been doing it one way, almost unconsciously, for so long. But what I've really heard you say so far in this session is that not only is the space going to give you freedom to really vision your curriculum and articulate the program even more. I think it's already very articulated, but, you know, to, like, really articulate it and bring it into being. But what I'm also hearing you say, you didn't use these exact words, but I could just hear it from what you were saying and the energy, and tell me if I'm getting this right. It feels like the space is something that your soul is deeply, deeply craving, and that your body is deeply, deeply craving.
Yes, yes. And I almost can't do what's next without the space.
Mm.
And so partially I haven't been creating the space, so I didn't have to go be visible and do what's next. Did you see the cycle there?
Yes, 100%. I'm so glad that you can see it. So what is the new belief that's ready to come forward about all of this so that you can break that cycle?
That I have to stop and create space by saying no, by delegating, by creating systems, so that I can sort of think big and vision and create what's next.
Okay, I'm going to just take what you just said and sort of reword it slightly. Tell me if it resonates.
Mm-hmm.
It might not. And if not, we can go back to exactly what you said. Because I don't, with beliefs, I don't always love using have to, because then it becomes a have to, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
When I am willing to create space for myself, then, and complete the blank there. When I'm willing to create space for myself, then.
Then I can connect with my deeper purpose and passion and vision and inspiration and message about the work I'm here to do and share. And from that, create programs and and offerings that are real offerings of my highest purpose.
On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being what you just said, not it. 10 is like ding, ding, ding. That's really where you want to work towards. Where are you on that scale?
I think like an 8 or 9. I don't know what a 10 would feel like, but yeah. It feels like the nugget is around the spaciousness and the you know, calming the overdoer so that I can come, so I can really sink into the bigger, higher vision, which I have not let myself do.
Yeah, beautiful. Okay, good. So let's just take that a step further. So I know this is like a new belief that you may not fully believe it yet, that when you have this space, all of this will happen, but it's one that you want to be working towards. Let's just pretend for a moment that you believed it wholeheartedly, 100%. If you did, what are 3 things that you would be doing differently right away?
I would be carving out time in my schedule, however that makes sense, to have these, you know, I would be planning on something big and start, you know, developing and visioning around this program that we talked about. I would let go even more of some of the doing and the busyness. And I would, I guess, be asking for looking for ways to get even more assistance with some of the other stuff.
Yeah. Okay, so I feel like the third thing is really clear, you know, like looking for assistance on the doing.
Yeah.
Just because I'm a stickler, sorry. Tell me, like, give me an example of carving out time in your schedule. Like, what's a shift that you know you can make?
I think I can. I think I can, instead of seeing, you know, acupuncture clients at my office on Thursdays from 9 a.m. till 7 p.m, I think I can say I'm going to do noon to 7 and, mm-hmm. you know, 9 to 12 is, I can actually block my schedule.
Yeah. Is that something that you can do over the next week, is create a new ideal schedule for yourself that frees up time and then figure out when you're going to start implementing that? And maybe you can let us know in the Facebook group.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. So we're at time. Tell me what you're taking away from the session.
I am taking away one of the nuggets that you said was, what if I could let my inspiration and passion and purpose create the programs? What if I could come, what if I could do my work in the world from that place? That is the key takeaway for me, because to connect with that place deeply, I need space. It doesn't fit into the, you know, the 30-minute windows between clients and the, you know. Mm-hmm. And so that really made me think about letting go into more spaciousness so I can connect with that passion and purpose and inspiration. And then the I'm good enough piece, just really, like, just freaking letting that go and letting that second grade version, not letting that second grade version keep me back, keep me overdoing for approval.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful. So it feels like, you know, there are more pieces maybe of the vision to flesh out, but it feels to me like, you know, on the outer level in terms of vision, we know that you're going to go for this year-long group program and integrating more of the coaching and the acupuncture, not just with regular clients, but into that program itself. And also on the outer, to let go of the overdoing and the delegating, and then and creating more space. You know, my sense is that a year from now, if you keep on going with this, a year from now, everything is going to look more spacious while you get to do these things. And then on the inner level, it's like a whole new paradigm around being entitled to the space and leading with the inspiration instead of all of the fear behind the overdoing and the not good enough. Am I getting that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Entitled to the space and leading from inspiration, yeah.
Awesome. Okay, great. So let's pause there. I'll pretend that's the
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Thank you for just being willing to be so vulnerable and go with it.
Thank you.
So actually, let me start with you, Kelsey, before I open up the conversation for everyone. And you may not be ready to answer questions since you just got coached, so you can let me know and I'll come back. But I just wanted to ask you if there's anything that you wanted to share just from the experience of being the client. Just going back to our very first session around energetics. Just anything, and you can think about that if you don't want to answer it right now, but just anything that you want to share or point out from client experience around energetics.
The energy, I mean, just felt very, I was obviously nervous at first, but I felt like I just felt very held. And at the same time, level playing field. I just, it was very, I was also listening, you know, for the questions. I was trying to sort of be aware also of the tools that you were using. And at some point I sort of let that go because I was like, I can't do both, but I was impressed with the questioning and the reframing and, you know, it just felt very seamless. So from an energetics perspective, I felt, you know, safe to open up even amongst however many people are on this call.
Yeah. Well, I'm really happy to hear that. Good. And you know, the reason why I ask it is just back to all of the skills are so important, but the energetics are, you know, way more than 50%. Of all of it, you were doing most of the work because of the equal playing field and because of the container.
Yeah.
Awesome. So I would love to open this up, and Kelsey, feel free if you don't want it, you want to answer any of these questions too. I want to open up to the group. So let's start with this. Well, just anything that you want to point out, what you noticed around energetics, around listening, around creating awareness, or around visioning? What are some pieces as you guys were taking notes that you want to pull out that feel important to note around those skills? What did you see and learn for yourself? Kara.
Hi, Joanna. Well, thank you both. Kelsey as well. It was really powerful to be witness to. I just noted the openness and a tone of questioning that you started with, that I really felt you were just like holding space. And I know sometimes for myself, I kind of have an idea of what I want someone to land on, or I can notice a little bit of agenda, and I just felt that you didn't have an agenda, and that you really were just even just completely open to wherever she wanted to go, and just asking some simple questions that just really open things up, like, you know, why do you want to get more people, and why is it important to you to get this clarity? That you know, that in some ways those might not have been, like, on the surface, the most profound questions, but they were actually exactly what she needed to get clear on.
Yeah.
And
wait,
yeah.
I'll have you pause there.
Yeah.
I want to slow some of this down because you're saying some important things. So first of all, on the openness, that's such an important piece, and I really want to reinforce the not having an agenda. So, of course, mm-hmm. you know, I had an agenda in terms of our call, and I wanted to try to model things. And also, like, when we're going into a vision, you know, it's hard to not have an agenda. Like, at the same time, though, I didn't, going into that session, it could have been that we walked out with a 12-month, you know, probably not in 45 minutes, but, you know, but it's usually when I do that with clients, it takes longer, but we could have walked out with a 12-month step-by-step strategy, or we could have walked out with, you know, a fully mapped out this or that. But what really became clear as we were digging is that what Kelsey needed most was almost like an energetic vision for her year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got to some of those other tangible pieces. I would have pushed more on the program if I felt she needed it, but it really felt like it was so already so written, and with the space and the permission to not overdo, she's going to get there so quickly. But what really, because I didn't have the agenda, it allowed us to go to that deeper place, and I think the place that was so much more important for Kelsey in this moment than just coming out with a, you know, 12-month strategy, which is really these energetic foundations. So thank you for bringing that forward. And, yeah, you know, questioning is the next module we're going to get to, but, of course, we can talk about questioning today, too. Some people don't like the some coaching trainings will say why offends people, it triggers them, but I find in the right moment, just asking someone in a loving way why, it's so simple that it can really get under the surface. Awesome. Thank you, Kara. Tina.
Hi. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
This is extremely interesting for me because I'm an acupuncturist as well. And so I was so delighted to be able to witness Chelsea be guided. Everything she talked about, I knew exactly what she was talking about. I felt a lot of the overdoing aspect. It really identified, and I was watching my own filters as she was talking. But what I loved about what you did with her is that you kind of took her from – you know, the talking about the administration, tax tasks, and, you know, the office part, which is a big strain, and I have an acupuncture practice as well, in really going to the level of where did the root of all this start? You know, you kind of took her on a journey, and it was so easily done from the outside. It sounded easy, but I know it wasn't probably like easy on your end, but you brought her back to her childhood. You brought her back to, well, where did this start? You know, you asked questions and then you said, okay, well, you know, let me back up for a second. Like, tell me about that. And you knew exactly where to kind of go forwards or backwards to get her on that like path to go deeper. And I could feel her energetics were hesitant because it is, you know, a call in front of people. But at some point, she really dove in. And it just started really meshing. And I just was like, oh, my God, this is beautiful. So I really appreciated it. I got to see how you were able to, you know, flow with it, like the other ladies were talking about. You've been doing it for so long. I feel that I'm not anywhere close to how you do it, but I'm learning. I'm really learning
now. Yeah, it's practice. It's practice. And there's so many things that you just said. I think the piece that I really want to pull out, I think is good for so many pieces in there, but one of the pieces that's really good for everyone's learning is, you know, in the beginning, so I want to just break down a little bit the beginning part of the conversation. If you guys remember back to one of our first or second calls, I was sharing when I was talking, first call, I think, when I was talking about the coaching container, one of the pieces that's just so important to creating the coaching container and one that's really aligned is to be really clear from the beginning of the call on the intention, right? And sometimes when you start a session, your client might be a little bit vague on what the intention is. Kelsey was pretty clear. She gave us a lot to work with. She talked about wanting to get clear on the biggest vision. And when I asked her why on that, so whenever we set intentions, sometimes I'm going to ask, you know, why do you want that? This goes back to desire versus should. You know, sometimes when you ask that why question, it helps someone sink deeper into why they really want what they want. But one of the first things that she said when I asked her why she wanted to get clear on that biggest vision for her business and life is she said, because if I'm clear, then I'm going to do less and achieve more. Now, as a coach, you know, we saw this in our listening module, we always want to track our clients and we always want to follow the threads and we always kind of like want to put the pieces together. So I already knew early on that there was going to be a theme here around that the doing less was a big, probably a big part of what needed to shift and change in that vision that Kelsey wanted. And so that really started to inform a lot of where we went. So you want to really pay attention to what, you know, always to what people are saying, particularly in the beginning. Good. Justine.
Hello.
Hi.
So going back to the very beginning, for me, listening to you giving her the space, like, so one of my challenges is, you know, to know when to step in, when to step in with questions versus when to just allow people to speak, you know, how long to let them go on. And I tend to be a person who will jump in. So it's helpful to hear that, to give someone enough space so that, you know, like we as the coach can gather enough information to ask the powerful questions. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, giving them the space, because what I also noticed for Kelsey is that she's like a verbal processor like I am. So she likes to talk it out. And so sometimes it's helpful. It was helpful for me to notice that also, and knowing what is helpful for the client and letting them get to where they need to get without stepping in too soon.
Yes, I'm so, so glad that you, that you're noting that. It's so important because we want, like, as coaches, we want to get them to where they want to go, and we think that we need to step in to shape the conversation more and, you know, this and that. And I think what you're saying is so true, is that oftentimes, and especially for people that are verbal processors, oftentimes if we just give our clients a little bit more space, they actually they're coaching themselves in a way. They're getting right, and obviously we're coaching too, and we're holding the space, and then, you know, we're helping to shape it. But they can get farther. Sometimes if we speak too soon, we'll cut off something really important. Now, and that's, by the way, one of the reasons it happened once in the conversation with Kelsey. I don't know if you guys noticed, where her and I both started saying something at the same time. Usually when that happens, 9 times out of 10, I'm always like, no, you tell me what you were going to say, because likely to be way more important than anything that I was going to say next, or what I was going to say can wait. Now, there are some times where someone, you'll feel like they're starting to get off track. You know, it's the more talking isn't actually moving them further along in their process. It's, they're getting off track. And in those moments, it is appropriate to, you know, step in and redirect or create awareness or, you know, whatever it is. I'm so glad that you're bringing that forward. Thank you. All right, let's see who's next. I'm not sure who this is. From Colorado, 5921.
Oh, that's me, Johanna in Boulder.
Oh, hi, my Johanna name sister.
Right,
with an H.
I have an H.
Yes.
So, I'm an acupuncturist too, interestingly. So, I was so struck by almost like it was a symphony, except, I mean, energetically, but it was only two voices. So it was an amazing duet of really going to the depth and modeling so much there's enough time, you're good enough. It's such a deep, deep ocean of being able to relax, and from that the solutions and strategies or whatever vision could just arise in so much saner and more deeply empowered way. So I just felt like I was in a deep ocean listening and having the spiral go down and then come out in a different way. And it was so beautiful. And mm-hmm. I just want to thank you.
Oh, well, you're so welcome. And thank you for bringing that forward. It's what you're noting is actually, it's so brilliant that you're noting it. I mean, number one, because we want that in any coaching session, but what I want to point out is we particularly wanted it in this session because of all that Kelsey brought forward, because her tendency is to do, go, 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 rush, no space. So what I want to kind of pull out of this, and we'll get to more of this in some one of our later trainings, but part of the purpose of the coaching container isn't just about the content that you discuss with your clients, but when you're working it really masterfully, the container becomes a corrective experience for the habits and the patterns mm-hmm. and the dynamics mm-hmm. that the client is mm-hmm. working on. Mm-hmm. So I very purposefully, worked to create even more space so that Kelsey could experience that for mm-hmm. herself. Yeah.
Well, I certainly did, and I wasn't at all jealous or envious, that she got to be chosen and not me, because I felt like I was totally brought along in this, and it was just so inspiring.
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad it sparked so much for you. Good. Heather.
Hi. So, the part that I really loved was when you and Kelsey were digging into the second grader version of herself, and she came to this really powerful insight, you are good enough exactly as you are, and feels grounded and calm. And you tried to move her into, if you were to take a peek back into these groups and retreats, coming from that place, that you're wise, grounded, and good enough. You should tell me about this place. What would excite you? And she was uncomfortable. I mean, you could hear it in her voice and said, that's unclear to me. And what I loved is how you brought in the energy of getting into the body, but even more than that, you not only said, let's get into that energy of being good enough, but and move into that feeling, but pretend for just a moment. And it just shifted immediately. She had no more of that hesitation, no fear, nothing. It was just boom, completely shifted, and was totally on track talking about the year-long program. That was really, really cool.
Yeah. I'm so glad that you're bringing this forward. There's two, I think, really important pieces in the point that you're making. So the first is the importance of learning on the body level. And we'll get more and more into this, but, one thing that for sacred depths coaching is foundational is that I've really just come to see for myself and for everyone that I've served that the mental level of learning and processing is important. The intellectual level is so important, but it's actually usually not enough to really move forward into transformation. We need three other levels. We need the heart level. We need the spirit level. And you don't have to believe in God for the spirit piece. It can just be about connecting to something bigger than you or to your inner wisdom. And we need the body level. And so, I moved Kelsey a little bit into that body level. We touched some heart pieces as well in this session. I'm glad you're bringing that forward. And then the other piece is the pretend piece, right? I love that you picked up on that. I said, so pretend. That's a vision. That's a little bit of a visioning ninja tool, right? So if we go back to some of the things that we looked at in our visioning, our first visioning call, it's talking about how people oftentimes don't give themselves the permission to vision. And we could see even with Kelsey, like all the different ways. Sometimes if you say, just pretend for a moment, like see if you can step into it and just like even pretend a little bit, it's just this like little thing that gives people a little more permission to really look and see what they want. I'm so glad. I forgot that I even said that, so I'm really glad that you picked up on the pretend piece and I'm bringing it forward. Thank you. All right. Who is this? 8451.
Oh, that's me.
Who is that?
That's Viv.
Oh, hi, Viv.
Oh, hi.
Oh my goodness. There's so much. Like I feel was a little a bit of a parallel experience, just really alongside Kelsey in that. But it really, you know, the whole belief and seeing that, releasing it, and stepping into the vision, that whole journey I really took in. But also, Joanna, what I really noticed too is when you shared about yourself too, like in there was like two specific places where Kelsey really shared about something that was going on, and you're like, you know what, I've been there too. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that, and just how the timing of it was like right in times where things, like she was sharing something really personal. It was like, yeah, I've been there too.
Yeah, I'm so glad.
That's what I also took in.
Oh, sorry, say that again.
Yeah, no, that's the second big thing for me.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you're bringing that forward and that you picked up on it. It's so important, right? This has to do with equalizing the playing field,
mm-hmm.
And it also has to do with helping the client feel seen and heard and loved.
Mm-hmm.
And also, and you will get to this more later on, but it's so much about normalizing an experience. So a lot of times when we have an experience that we don't feel so good about, then we end up feeling shame about it, and then the shame ends up blocking us even more than the experience itself. And so I really feel like one of the many jobs of the coach is to work to help dissipate shame for clients.
Yeah.
And one of those ways is normalizing experiences.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Thank you for bringing that forward.
Yeah. Thanks, Kelsey.
We have a couple of minutes left. Who else? Anything else that you're seeing? Anything that you want to ask me about decisions that I made? Anything else that you want to pull out? Anything that you would have done differently? Because like I said before, many roads, right? There's not just the one way. So I'd love to hear any of that, Star, too. And while I just see if anyone else wants to raise their hand or if you want to raise... Oh, somebody has. Okay, awesome. Sophie.
Hi, Joanna. I noticed that Kelsey didn't seem to have that much resistance, which was really nice. But let's say you were coaching somebody and she had a lot of resistance about like visioning what she really wanted, because sometimes you know, like someone, they have a hard time imagining that they could really have what they want, right? So if that was the situation, what is something you might say to them to encourage them to open up more about what they really want instead of what they think is possible?
Yeah, it's such a good question. And I will answer it, but first I'm going to say this. Kelsey, in some ways, didn't have resistance. But in some ways she did, because, you know, that space piece, right? Like what I think she was resisting at the beginning is she was jumping into like the biggest vision for my business and life and program, you know, and all of that. But we actually had to work through some of the inner pieces to get to that space piece, right? So that's just one way, is like looking, you're getting to some of the inner pieces. But some other ways, and then the pretend piece that we already spoke about, but some other ways, you know, for example, so first of all, always just acknowledging, right? So acknowledging and normalizing. So first just saying, like, I know, you know, I noticed that you're having, you know, some trouble really stepping into the vision. And first, I just want you to know it's so normal. I've been there before. It just happens. And it's because, you know, what we're doing together here, you know, really looking into what you want, it's, you know, again, use your own languaging, but, you know, I might say something like, this is a really sacred act. And it's sacred because so often in life we don't give ourselves permission to see what it is that we truly desire. And so first I just really want to honor you for just being willing to even, you know, be in this conversation and to look and see what you want. And then from there, I want to ask you, you know, what do you sense, what fear or belief or idea do you sense is in your way of really being able to see what you want? So, Sophie, what are you hearing in that that's important for you?
I'm hearing that I actually, for me, what you're doing is like honoring the courage to even look at it. And then asking, sort of in a poor, polite way, but, like, what are you really afraid of, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So first, just, like, acknowledging, normalizing, and then honoring that they're willing. The honoring that they're even willing is really big because it shows a deeper part of themselves that they do want this. They do want to see it, you know, and that can help with some of the resistance and some of the defenses. And, yeah, and then, you know, asking the question of, you know, what is it that is standing in the way here? What is it that's so scary, you know, that feels scary about this? Awesome. Glad you asked that question. Yeah, I'll just give one other tool. Is that sometimes it's like it's about perfection, right? So people just feel like it needs to be perfect out the gate. And so you say, like, we're not tattooing this on your body. This doesn't have to be perfect. You know, we can shift and tweak. You may not know, some of it may be in the mystery. You may not know all of it. But just like if you could see a little bit, you know, just like maybe you can't see it fully clearly. Maybe it's like in the dark, but there are just little pieces of the vision that you can see. What is it that you see, right? So that's another way. Or you can get in there from their priorities and their values. You know, so if it's not about the tangible, then it's like, okay, well, what? How do you want this year to feel? Let's start there. Like, if there was a feeling that that was going to pervade this year, what would that feeling be? And then once they name the feeling, you can say, well, what are, you know, we don't have to pick any of these, but, like, what are some tangible ideas or projects or, you know, whatever that would help you feel this feeling so you can also get at it from the back door, too? Make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. Totally makes sense.
Awesome. Great question. Okay, I know we're just past 2:30. I have some other notes that I made here. Just see what we didn't cover. I think we covered a lot of it. I won't go over time. Well, any more takeaways or things that come up from this call, please share in our Facebook group. Please share, any questions that come up that you have. I want to just quickly speak to homework. So first of all, if you're working with a coaching partner and you haven't done your practice visioning sessions, please work on those. I know for most of you, a lot of the meeting with your coaching partners is going well. I've heard from a few of you that there's some, like, misconnections and it's hard to get together. If you want to be partnering with someone, you know, to be doing the practice, see if you can recommit to the practice, create a schedule with your partner, recommit to each other. And if that isn't working out, you know, let me know and we'll see, you know, what else, you know, we find some practice for you. But if you want practice, please get it. If you've already done visioning sessions, then move more into strategizing or do more visioning sessions, reworking the pieces that you learned today. And even if you aren't working with a coaching partner, if you are or not, a question I want you to ask yourself is, which of your clients could use a visioning session? Like, which are your clients are up for kind of setting a foundation right now or creating a vision? And see if you can work that in with some of your clients. All right. I'm wishing you all a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day. Talk to you soon. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.